Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself, Pete Out the Devil. How are you doing? What's going down?
I'm good, baby. I am currently looking out into my garden. I'm in the cabin down the end of the road, and I'm just eyeing up. The decking. We've got a bit of decking in our... There's a bit of decking going on.
They spat out my
garden. There's a bit of decking in my garden, and it's just been absolutely destroyed by the rain and elements, salt water off the sea. And it's. I just need to replace the decking, Chris. And I don't know the first thing about decking.
Or decking.
We spoke about, I don't know anything about the second-hand car market in the last show, and now I'm just looking at that going, I know nothing about wood treatment, or how to get things fixed, Chris. So there's not a single day goes by that I don't walk past something in my house and go, that's going to be down to me to fix, and I am not capable in this area.
I mean, you're too busy driving around in your brand new Jaguar, no doubt, rocketing through the streets of England.
It's got a CD player. It does actually have a CD player.
Oh, very nice. Really? Is that still a thing?
Well, it was in 2014 when the car came out, yeah. I mean, was it even 2014? Oh, you're really hedging your bets if you're putting a CD player in a car, surely, even 10 years ago.
I think the old ways are coming back. As somebody I mentioned last week, got a record player, just spent a small fortune on records. When I was in Tower Records in Shibuya the other day, I picked up a cassette for Tatsuro Yamashita, my favourite city pop artist. That was so cool, holding a cassette. There's a brand new release as well, right? This wasn't like rummaging through the bargain bucket bin in the corner. This was like a brand new released cassette, which suggests there's still demand for cassettes in Japan. But I loved it. It's something tactile and exciting about holding things, which I've forgotten. You know, sitting here with my smartphone, which you can put videos, music on, you forget that once upon a time you needed shelves, an awful lot of shelves, to fit your DVDs on, your cassettes, your VHS, whatever. It felt really cool going in the record store, just picking up all these records. And I think CD could come back. Well, that's not quite the same, is it? Not quite records.
Well, I guess all the CDs that kind of came out in the sort of late 90s are already rotten. So you've got to be really, keep things working, Chris.
A lot of effort, isn't it? I do feel a sense of guilt when I buy like a record that's been around 20, 30, 40 years and somebody's sort of been the steward of looking after that record and now it's in my hands and I'm a moron. And it's probably going to get destroyed. And I feel kind of like, should I buy this? This is a piece of history. The fucking Muppets Christmas Carol soundtrack on vinyl. You know, this is a piece of history. And I don't want to damage it. When I'm drinking my cold brew coffee, we've discovered how to make cold brew coffee. Or rather, Charla did. And I nearly spat it out all over my screen while you were mentioning dicking about in the garden. But On about two episodes ago, I mentioned the release of the Journey Across Japan trailer, right, for Journey Across Japan Frozen Frontier. And interestingly, it's doing really badly because YouTube's not promoting it. Right. Because there's the scene of Natsuki as a hitman at the start, I think. Has done something and made it sort of suppressed. So don't put Natsuki as a hitman in.
Don't put Natsuki as a hitman. Don't give
Natsuki
a gun.
It's insane, right? Usually a video would clock up about 400,000 to 500,000 views in 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah.
We struggled to get 200,000 views on that video. So when YouTube pulls back, they call it throttling, when YouTube decides it doesn't want to promote your video, my God, it has quite an impact. Yeah. It's very scary. So yeah, but you've really got to bloody be careful with YouTube. I remember speaking to Joey about it when he covered a lot of anime and hentai stuff in his videos, and like every single one of his videos was demonetized. But and you've had a similar few issues as well, haven't you, with the Wrestle Me podcast?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
that more copyright.
Yeah, but I mean, we've it's quite hard to sort of like we have very little data about what we've got an analyst full time at Stack, and he's been working on it on a few different things, and we sort of set him to work to look at the Wrestle Me kind of YouTube figures and stuff, and. I mean, the only kind of like data we got was the one that we did about the sexual exploitation about one of the wrestlers, weirdly, was the one that everyone seems to click on. But that doesn't mean that they click on any other shows, any other sort of videos on the channel, basically. So they're basically saying, right, lean into this, lean into that. And so we leaned into different things and nothing came of it, really. And it's quite hard to sort of like, sometimes you just got to use your gut, I think, more than actually following the data a little bit, because you're usually right, I would say.
The best way to think of YouTube these days is not so much channels, but just videos, right?
Yeah.
A channel that's brand new can have a hit video with a million views, but the next video will fall flat, and it all hinges on the video. YouTube doesn't really discriminate on number of subscribers anymore. And in essence, like, the number of subscribers is kind of irrelevant in many ways. Like, I'm very proud and glad that 2 million, 3 million people almost follow Abroad in Japan. But it, you know, I get about 1 million to 1.4 million on average on the video. And like, the YouTube doesn't just promote my videos any more than that. So it's kind of exciting, liberating to new YouTubers, I think, that you can get a good start. But it's also quite daunting for long standing folks such as myself that we can't necessarily make the videos you want to make. You have to sort of think of the algorithm and what will do well and what people want to click on.
Yeah.
I say everyone always says algorithm, but really it's kind of just people.
Yeah.
People click on things or people don't click on things. But the fact YouTube suppressed the video in this case suggests it is the algorithm. So fuck you, YouTube.
Fuck you,
story
algorithm.
This week from Jem. Damn you for getting violence ruining my videos. To be fair. Yeah, it's not for everyone. All the best. We got one from Jem from Brisbane, Australia this week. Hello, Chris and Pete. In a recent episode, you spoke about restaurants with low ratings on Google Maps, and it brought up traumatic flashbacks from my trip in October last year. Two friends and I had been at, and just for some background, my last video that came out was about food in Japan on a budget, and we went to a sushi restaurant to see what we could get for $10. And only afterwards did I discover it was the worst rated sushi restaurant in like North Japan. And there was photos of cockroaches everywhere. So yeah, do always look at the reviews. Trust me on that. If I'd seen that photo, I wouldn't have gone there. But two friends and I had been at Universal Studios for the day and we're absolutely ravenous. So we decided to get dinner outside the park before leaving. Every restaurant was packed, but we live by the rule of if it has a line, it's probably worth it. So we eagerly got in line for a soba shop with displays of soba noodles, tempura, and katsudon in the window. After waiting for 45 minutes, we were almost at the front, and I tried to find a menu online so we could order as soon as we entered. I was horrified to find they had 1.7 stars on Google Maps. That's very, very low. I mean, for some reference, I think the god-awful sushi restaurant with cockroaches had just 2.3. But my friends insisted that they needed to eat now, and anything would be fine. I ordered katsudon, which is breaded pork, thinking not much could go wrong. What came out was closer to tamago kake gohan, literally raw egg on rice.
Oh dear.
It was a sloppy mess of rice with raw egg mixed throughout the entire bowl, and a pork cutlet with breadcrumbs as soggy as the rice and cold in the middle. I suspect they'd attempted to reheat it in the microwave, but I couldn't even manage to do They couldn't even manage to do that correctly. Out of all three set meals, none of us had a single dish that was edible. I now obsessively Google every restaurant I go to before entering and recommend that anyone eating near USJ avoid the sober shop like the plague. All the best, guys. Jim from Brisbane, Australia. I mean, that sounds pretty awful. But I mean, it's one of those places though, isn't it, that caters for like people bundling out of the theme park rather than quality cooking. But my God, that sounds bad.
How comfortable I am with eating raw egg has very much increased as I've gotten older. Because like, I'm from the generation, and probably you are to a less extent, of salmonella crisis in the UK. It's the sort of thing that, to be honest, the US has weekly from different places because of their USDA regs aren't quite as tight as the European ones. But but we had a very, very big egg salmonella issue in the late 80s, early 90s, I think. And everyone was just gone. They just did not eat eggs unless they were very, very, very well cooked. And it was a very dry, boring few years. And now I'm like, I'll have a half-cooked egg. I'll have a omelette that's half, like scrambled egg that's half cooked and half not. It's great stuff.
When we say raw egg in Japan, it's not half-cooked. It is like a raw egg, right? And you sort of break the egg yourself, you whisk it, and then dunk it over your rice with a bit of soy sauce. And I actually really like it. It's really nice with breakfast here. Like, it's a really nice start to the day.
Yeah.
But, my God, the first sort of year or so of doing that, being here, I was like, am I going to die eating this? Is this a thing?
Yeah.
What is that? Like, but it's bloody good. And it seems like the real culprit here was a sloppy mess of rice and breadcrumbs.
So,
yeah. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you go. Oh, genuinely, I would always say, and I do it now, if I'm going in a restaurant, before, even if my foot is like halfway through the door, I'll be like, wait, pull back, and we'll get the phone out, go on Google and check that it's edible. And know this, though, like, I generally try and only go in restaurants that will have a 4.1 rating or up. But in Japan, they're very brutal on ratings. I asked Ryota about this, because like most ratings are sort of 3 stars. But that means it's really good, and that means it's actually decent.
Yeah.
So Ryotaro said that in Japan, like 3 stars means it's good and you should go. But 4 stars is like, wow, and 5 stars is...
Get out of here.
Epiphany. Yeah. I've never seen higher than a 4.8, I think.
Yeah.
But so just be careful of that. But speaking of garbage food, we've got a story about
nice.
Garbage money.
Garbage money.
More tantalising story.
Yeah.
What have you got for us
delicious
this week, Mr.
Eggy money. I mean, Chris, I don't know about you. I don't know how often you go down to the recycling centre in your town, but I go every couple of weeks and I love seeing what people have thrown away, from car batteries to books to golf clubs to just, you know, interwall insulation. I just love seeing what people have thrown away. But this guy, a worker, on January the 30th was separating recyclable paper from the rest of the burnable trash recycled from Nishi Ward and Taine Ward. It was there that they found the ultimate in recyclable paper and reported it to the city. My goodness. They found 10 million yen in the garbage at a collection facility in Sapporo.
Jesus.
10 million yen. As is the law in Japan, a 3-month period started from that day for the original owner to come forward and claim the 10 million yen. How much is that in normal money, in dollars and pounds?
I'm going to say $80,000.
$80,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Imagine how many eggs you could buy with that. There was... so during that time, in that 3-month period, there were 16 attempts to do so, with claims from people saying they accidentally dropped 10 million yen wrapped in a newspaper, or that a family member suffering from dementia may have accidentally thrown it away. However, in each case, the claimants were unable to accurately describe the money or the condition it was found in. So on April 30th, my birthday, ownership was given to Sapporo City.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Sapporo City. There's just so many people on the comments in the newspapers and stuff saying nothing to the person who found it. They should have at least pocketed it. I'm not saying give the person all of it, but at least a reward for being honest about it. I think it's better just to return it to the Bank of Japan to be disposed of. It feels strange for anyone to profit from it. I mean, so basically people are torn between it should be disposed of or the person who found it should get a fair dealing. It's when you think about it, letting the worker have the money is a great incentive for them to do a thorough job or just leave the job and do something else because he's got 80 grand in his pocket.
I think they should have given it to birthday boy Pete Donaldson. What better way to celebrate his birthday?
Yeah.
And all the media attention he's brought to Sapporo. I mean, it's entirely possible that someone with dementia did it. And, you know, people in Japan, they do keep a lot of money, particularly elderly people, like, keep the money in their house. Like, I don't know if you remember when the tsunami hit, a lot of cash was destroyed because people keep cash under their beds and stuff at home in Japan. It's a very much a cash society. So, I rather than some sort of salacious criminal underworld dealings or something like that, it is probably just a massive error, which is kind of sad. And you do wonder if some of those people turned up trying to get it.
Yeah.
Do you think it was their money? You could just lie quite easily. I withdrew all my money and I just left it in a bag and I forgot.
Forgot about it, yeah.
Can I have the money? Can I have the money back? Give me the money now.
Yeah.
But like, that would suck if it was actually your money. That would suck immensely.
It would suck, and then you'd be like, well, I'm never going to get it back. I've got to say goodbye to it. It's a lot of money to say goodbye to, isn't it? But if you've got that kind of money kicking around, maybe you've got other bags full of money.
Yeah.
You never know.
I'm more curious as to how Sapporo are going to blow it. I think for that kind of money, you could buy another squid, just like they did in Kanazawa.
Yes.
You could get a gigantic squid.
Those big old, yes, I forgot about that.
I think I saw a video on that recently. Was it $80,000 they spent on the giant squid in Kanazawa? Or
it was about that, yeah, definitely.
And I read an article or saw a video last week where they had the last laugh because it had turned out people had gone to look at the $80,000 squid. No, it was $200,000.
It's too much. It's more expensive than you think. Such an expensive squid.
But maybe it worked. And also, that means the 10 million yen won't cover the cost of the squid, so that ain't gonna happen. God, that's depressing. $200,000 on a giant squid. But there you go, guys. Never know what. I a friend of mine did find some money on the street recently. People
80 grand
seem to throw cash. Wasn't quite 80 grand, no. But it was enough for a night out, I think. And I don't think he returned it.
That's a shame.
We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine. But always return the money. Be nice.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners?
Oh, let's have a rattle through some questions. Brad from Brisbane, Australia. Hi, Cunning Chris and Perceptive Pete. I'm a uni student going on a short-term exchange to Japan to study a unit at Shinjuku campus over the course of 2 weeks in summer this year. Just wanted to ask if there were any places in or around Tokyo or accessible by bullet train you might recommend visiting, excuse me, if I only have a weekend or two free between studying. So, Tokyo, accessible by bullet train, where would you visit? Give us your top two, Chris.
What? I want to ask places in Tokyo or accessible by bullet train you recommend visiting. No.
Everything's...
I've never been anywhere outside of Tokyo.
But surely everything's kind of like... It depends on how much time you want to spend sort of getting anywhere. But like Osaka's 2.5, isn't it? On the quick train, as discussed on previous shows. But
I mean, the weekend's a good chunk of time, though. You could go anywhere, actually. Yeah. You could genuinely go anywhere. Depends what you want to do. If you want a good night out, go to Osaka. If you want to experience the culture and look at where I once opened a bar, go to Kyoto. If you want to eat some beef, go to Kobe. If you want to rummage around some mountains, go to Yamagata. I never recommend it, but I would recommend going to Yamagata. It's funny, I've been in Tokyo only two, three weeks now.
Yeah.
And I'm already like, oh, I need to go and see the mountains now. Because you do feel sort of entrapped in a city, right? Unlike you, this is my first time like living in a proper big city.
Right.
You've lived in London, right in the heart of it. And I don't think you ever felt that way. But I feel, as somebody who's spent their entire life kind of in the countryside or near it, like Sendai, where you could literally see mountains and trees from your window, to be in a big city with no easy access to the countryside, I feel like I need to escape and I need my weekend away.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the mountains. But like, did you ever feel like that living in London?
Probably not. Yeah, I'm a bit of a city head, I think. I think moving, I'm starting to appreciate the calm. I'm appreciating forests and, you know, golf courses where I can walk my dogs and stuff and beaches and stuff. I'm starting to appreciate the finer things in life. But I've always been kind of like, I like the hustle and bustle. I like the accessibility. I like the fun times. But, you know, as you get older, you sort of go, oh, it's actually quite good to see other stuff, really.
Fair point. I mean, what drives the great Pete Donaldson? What's your motivation? What's your guiding star? What do you use as a sort of...
What do you mean? Where you...
A guide, really.
It's a guide. I don't know.
If we're on the great ship Donaldson, how do you chart the stormy seas?
How do you
decide which way...
I would say... Yeah, but like every... Like, you got to remember, though, if that person's going from Australia to Tokyo, they're probably not having terrible jet lag. So I think the only trips I've ever taken to Japan, I've always been like, I'm so jet lagged. I'll have a sleep here, and then I'll have a sleep here, and I'll get drunk here, and I'll have a dance here. And it's all just very much kind of like living for the weekend a little bit. Sort of going, right, we'll go to Osaka for the weekend. Lovely old job. Fantastic. Lots of fun.
Fair point. Well, if you've got only 2 weeks, I would say go and have a look around Kyoto and then go and look at some nature. Actually, go to Takayama. I did a post recently on Patreon about underrated places to visit. And one of the places was Takayama. And everyone there raved about it. And I love it too. It's a lovely city in the mountains. Let's go there now.
Brilliant.
We've got a story or a question from Adam from Leeds. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. My wife hasn't the greatest mobility following a recent operation a few years ago. I know Japan is vast and I really don't want her to miss out on anything. So we've planned to get a mobility chair. Is public transport generally disabled friendly and will there be access to public toilets? Are there many elevators around? Thanks for taking the time to read this, Adam from Leeds. Yes, Adam, you're in luck.
Easy.
Very good for mobility, Japan, because of the Olympics, even pre-Olympics, Japan, very good with infrastructure, very good with, I think, every toilet that I can think of in public spaces has a disabled toilet in between men and women. So you're good there. And there's always elevators. So yeah, I'd say far more than the UK, you're going to have a lot more. It's going to be a lot easier.
And there's more sort of people around, isn't there? Like even sort of getting on the tube, you know, obviously the tube's very hustly and bustly and busy and stuff. And the accessibility isn't great on the, you know, Yamanote and stuff. But every set of gates has an attendant who can help you through the bigger gates and stuff. So there's just a lot more people employed to look after you, I think it's fair to say.
You
do have a little bit more help here and there.
I mean, God, how do people with disabilities get around the London Underground? Just thinking of the platforms, right? There's often not elevator lift access. You've got to like go downstairs onto these really narrow little entrance ways and narrow platforms. Compared to Japan, like it's awful. Like Japan, because everything's kind of modern, right? Most stations are built relatively recently here. They do take that into consideration in a way they didn't in 1897 when they built the fucking underground in London. So, yeah, don't worry. I think Japan, one of the best countries on earth to get around if you have any form of disability. So, yeah, best of luck to you guys, Adam. Have a great trip. We've got one last one from Maz from Montreal. He says, yo, what up, bozos? The dichotomy of greetings in every message. My everlasting love for you grows stronger with each episode. Thank you very much. Anyway, I wanted to ask, what's the best way to find short-term housing in Japan? Are there any sites you'd recommend or other methods like newspaper classifieds? I assume there's still a lot of old people with apartments for rent who refuse to move into the digital age. Thank you, Maz from Montreal.
Probably right.
There's a few places. Black Ship Realty, probably the best one. They're pretty good. Black Ship Realty.
We've had them on the show.
We did have them on the show. And Alex is a good friend. He's got the YouTube channel Takeo Portfolio. Honestly, if I have anything real estate based, I just grab him and get him to do it because he knows what he's doing. And also it helps that he's a foreigner because it's kind of like a tricky thing to negotiate property and real estate crap in Japan. It's a right headache. So that's one way. But there are lots of houses. Increasingly, I've seen overseas folks buying houses in Japan for knockdown prices. So probably not a short-term housing solution, but you can get a house in Japan, the countryside, for $10,000 or less, which is astonishing. 8 million empty houses in Japan, more than I think any other country on earth. Don't quote me on that, but the figure was 8 million. But hit them up. Black Ship Realty, they're pretty good, Maz. Just Google them, look them up, or look up the YouTube channel, Tokyo Portfolio. That's pretty much it from us today, guys. Journey Across Japan kicks off this week. The first episode should be out now, so go and check it out over on the Abroad Japan channel. Hopefully that didn't get buggered like the trailer did, because that would be very sad. A lot of time and resources went into that video. But check it out. We've got dog sledding. We've got a ice city, ice village. I suppose there's a big difference between ice city and ice village. It's ice village, but it's pretty cool. They had a frozen convenience store, which sounds a lot better than the reality, given that most of the drinks in the ice convenience store were frozen solid and you couldn't drink them. So bear that in mind. But yeah, it's a good video. Check it out, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan channel podcast. Oh my God. It's a podcast, not a channel. See you later, guys.
Get out of here.
Before Pete Dolson kills me.
Bye. Bye.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.